Everybody, welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Maury alongside, we'll take you to three. Hand it off to our good buddy, Phil Bonatti. He's with you for 2 hours today, and then it's Major Wager Monday. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, Carter, the whole gang out there. Great matchup tonight, Detroit and Baltimore on both ABC and ESPN. And for us, it means the terrific food, the great giveaways, the wonderful atmosphere out there. So stop on by Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Major Wager Monday. Giants will not be on our air tonight because of that. They start their last gasp homestand. We'll talk more about that when we go over the schedule a little bit later on, which is brought to you courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. Give them a call, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. I'll tell you more about Ed's great work for Fresno State a little bit later on when we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790 now and then throughout the week. Also, want to remind you that playoffs start next week in baseball, and surprisingly, the Dodgers will not be one of the teams that earned the bye, so they'll be in the best two or three, and we'll go over that a little bit. I know Phil will as well. And up front, if you didn't hear that, for the second time now in five seasons, Nick Bosa has torn an ACL. It was the left one before, and it was the right one now, left one, what was it? I can't remember now which direction it is. It's the opposite knee from the last time. I think it was right and now left, I believe, is the case. It doesn't make any difference. It does to him, to the 49ers. It means they've lost a key cog on the defense. So for both the 49ers and the Rams, a very tough, tough Sunday. And I know Phil will have a lot to say about that a little bit later on. Before I bring Paul up to talk about, speaking of tough nights or afternoons for the pro teams and a tough night for everybody watching, late in the evening, in the midnight, the Bulldogs survived the old Al Davis just win baby, and Paul will be up to talk about it, and I'll go over your emails, tdad1@att.net, a little bit later on. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Leading off right now for that is everybody at KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. We're so happy that they're part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Again, those local operators stepping up to help out Fresno State. Really appreciate it. And right now, great deals as always at KFC. They have, for a limited time, brought the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back. So jump in and take that opportunity. Won't be there for long, but those are great family favorites. So stop by those local operators. Also, while everybody else is making their food a smaller portion and more expensive, KFC's chicken sandwich, still bigger and better than ever right now. Just $3.99 for a limited time for the KFC chicken sandwich. Check that out. And don't forget, you still have the deal on Tuesday, which is the 8-piece $10 bucket. And on Wednesdays, you have the $5.99 Kentucky Fried Steak. So it is a very, very good opportunity for you at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and we thank them for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Again, that is bulldogbread.com. We'll tell you more about it a little bit later on. The other reminders, one comes from Lee's, and that is the great local group that has been in NorCal in Central California since 1981. They afford me the time every day, and they have for a good long while to bring you the weather. Again, you see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. If you need anything, give them a call, 825-5337 or leesair.com. They also bring you the guests for this show, like Paul Leffler, and for Phil's show, plus callers from the general public for Phil's show at 559-320-1430. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, Lee's the guys to see. As far as the forecast goes, well, it's the start of fall officially in Fresno, California, which means, of course, 93 degrees, which, hey, you know what? It's great for me. I've told you before, anything under 102, or actually 102 and below, I take it all year long. 93 today, 96 tomorrow, the lows around 70, 87 on Wednesday, and we're going to start to see shower opportunities first on the coast and then maybe on the valley floor toward the afternoon, morning to afternoon on Wednesday. We'll see if that plays out or not. Thursday, there's a chance for isolated thunderstorms, so that is probably up in the foothills a little bit more. But take a look at it with an 87 on both Wednesday and Thursday, then 88 Friday, 91 Saturday, and 90 on Sunday. Then we go 89, 86, 87 next week. So a really good 10-day. Hopefully, with the Garnet Fire finally under control, the fires will settle down. The air was cleared up by the rain, and the one hope, of course, is particularly those who are trying to dry raisins. I hope you got out relatively unscathed. I grew up in a grape growing business, so I know fully well what it's like when the rains come this time of year. I've mentioned this before, that we'd be driving from town out to the vineyards in Biola, so you're heading, of course, west, and the entire sky would be completely black with one small glow of light, and my father would say, "Son, right there, that's where the raisins are, that's where the vineyards are, in that little glow of light." And I looked at him like, "I hope you're right, Dad, but I think it's going to be a long Christmas." That's all I can tell you. That's what happened, that everybody in the family had the same business. So anyway, I hope those of you that were involved or have been involved in anything that the weather impacted, that you're okay right now. Anyway, thanks again to Lees for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lees. And then finally, about ways to give to Fresno State, our longtime friend and longtime booster at Fresno State, that would be Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, wants to spend a minute with you. Again, Joe has this terrific business celebrating its 25th anniversary. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. You can stop by and see him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Or more information, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabriel Mullins, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. We've talked about this over and over again. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything you need from an industrial standpoint, it's there. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're a tanker delivery individual, anything you may have in regard to involvement, particularly maybe there's a boiler service that is part of what you do, if a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry. You not only have these superior components right there at Joe's business, but the same-day estimates, the same-day service, the family-friendly attitude by everybody around there means you can come in and tell Joe what your problems are. He'll analyze it on a same-day basis and get you up and running if you're down, or keep you up and running if it's something where you're just now starting to see the problem. He's a terrific guy, and if you have a few minutes, he will also, after he addresses your needs, tell you what he has done for Fresno State and what he'd like to see you do in the way of donation. Right now, the best avenue, go to the main website, GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Their tip-off dinner is coming up now in just a couple of weeks. I think it's October 16th, I believe it's at Pardini's. You can check that out. Jack Furtig with me, and he'll finally be back with me this Wednesday. The last couple of weeks, the Giants have had the time slot. Jack on the board of directors at the Timeout Club. They'd love to have more members. He said, give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FertigJack@AOL.com if you want to hit him on his email. Other links are there for sports like, for instance, baseball. The Dugout Club is there. Other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. So just click on the donate link, and it'll take you to where you need to go. And then finally, as we mentioned earlier, the critically important collective that is BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. I mentioned that because there is a Bulldog Bread, BRED, different entity. So make sure you get the right one. Any sponsorship idea you have, any donation, big or small, Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you, BulldogBread.com. Critically important, as we've said before, There's no way in the world you're going to get help from the state right now, and you're going to have to keep up with people in your conference, particularly in the PAC, never mind what's going on across the country. So if you have any idea at all, hit Marcus up. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to everybody involved in the PAC of lead dogs, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, and the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. And again, we particularly appreciate Jorge bringing Paul Epler up right now. Paul just flew in from Hawaii, and boy, are his arms tired. That's right. A joke as old as I am. Paul, how you doing?
My arms aren't as tired as you might think after all those miles in the air. In fact, I might throw the football around a little bit with my man Trey over here at Bulldog Sports Properties. We'll see. I do want to mention, Tony, you mentioned the tip-off dinner for Time Out Club, the basketball team. It'll be October 13th, Monday night. So I know last year we had just an absolutely packed house. George Karl came and gave a memorable speech in support of Coach Wahlberg. And this year, man, with all the new guys on the roster from all corners of the globe, I think it's going to be real interesting to hear some of their perspective and for fans to get to meet them. Some fans came out to Mountain Mike's Pizza this last week and got to know some of the guys. I know the coaches are excited. Tyler Johnson being on the staff this year, it's a big addition. There's a lot of basketball knowledge on that coaching staff from a lot of different perspectives. I think that's a good thing, you know, that you have guys who think big picture and schematics. You have guys that are more skill development. I mean, John Welch, as good as anybody on the planet in doing that. Then you bring someone with the NBA experience of a Tyler Johnson, and a guy like Ray Bearfield, who's had a lot of success at the high school level, who really knows the recruiting landscape and the players, and of course, Coach Wahlberg, who, you know, touches all levels of basketball. They only won 6 games last year, so there's nowhere to go but up, and I think we could see significant improvement. It's going to be a tough league again. Not as tough as it'll be next year when Gonzaga comes in, but it'll be a tough league again this year. So it's not going to be easy, but I'm looking forward to seeing how much progress that basketball squad can make. And at tip-off dinner on the 13th, a great sneak preview to whet that appetite a little bit.
And also, I'll give Vance a call and see if I can jump him on here fairly shortly and have him also talk a little bit more at length about what we know is a critical year. And with Jack with us every week, we certainly have an opportunity to talk basketball, and naturally the season is closing in a big hurry. Saturday night passed. I want to touch upon these emails real quickly here, and I'll get Paul's thoughts. Our good and longtime friend Clovis Dave talked about Thunderbird long ago, and Dave, you're right. He is a big-time player, and he makes big-time impact, and that certainly was the case on Saturday. Rick, you commented on the fact that it was a typical game on the rock, and you're right in many respects, and the Bulldogs were very happy to get out of there with a win, but you asked about the app situation very quickly. The reason you could get the Mountain West app on your phone but not on Roku is your phone can be geo-blocked, so they can tell where you are, meaning they could tell you were not in the blackout area around the game itself in Hawaii and the islands. And that's why your app, like everybody else, if you used your phone, your Android device, they were able to determine where you were. The app that looks identical for the Mountain West on Roku, which works the same most of the time, that app cannot be geo-blocked accurately. Therefore, it is not offered that. So even though you're on the same app, and if you pull up something that wasn't the game, you'd see it on both the Roku and on your phone. When you went to the game itself, it was only on your phone. That's how it works, and that's the reason I mentioned this. The National Football League, when it was on DirecTV for all those years with the NFL ticket, they couldn't geo-block. So the game mix, you had every game on that was played, including the games that were being played locally, which the local affiliates didn't like very much, okay, because you could bypass them. The minute it went to YouTube, then geo-blocking came in. So if you try to go to watch games yesterday, for instance, on your package if you paid all that $480 up front or whatever it is. You found yourself suddenly where you can't get the 49er game, you can't get the Raider game. That's because those games were available locally. All right. Yet you could get the Ram game because it wasn't available locally. That's the reason that geo-blocking is so important. It's a pain in the rear end, and I don't like it, but I know that the producers of the games and the rights holders like it a great deal, but that's the reason the same app worked differently on those. The other comments, both our good buddies Robert and Phil P. talked about forget playing in Hawaii again if they're going to have the officiating like that, particularly in reference to the lateral that wasn't. And Robert also brought up, you know what, it's all flowers to the D, but everybody knows there's still a lot of work to do with this team. We'll certainly discuss that. I know Matt Ince will be the first guy to tell you that. And then finally, I wanted to mention hello to our longtime friend Scott in Tulare. It's good to have you back on board, Scott. All right, all that having been said, Paul, your overview of this thing on Saturday night, to me, this was the kind of game I said going in, you just had to win. You and I talked last week, when you're not in divisional play and you're trying to make it at the top two, you never know which game can be the stub-your-toe game, but any game that's winnable, particularly on the road, you can't let it get away. It almost got away, Paul, but it didn't. How happy were you to see this team again follow the mantra, the Al Davis just win, baby? How good did it feel to make that flight home?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was really impressive, and it says something about the team, the focus, the culture that Matt Ince is building. First of all, though, I thought geo-blocking, everybody knows you're a closet gearhead, Tony, and you follow the racing world more than you let on, but I thought geo-blocking was when Gary Selzy's son didn't let people pass him on the dirt track myself.
That's right. That's exactly right. Dominic could let people pass him, but it's not geo-blocking. But Gio can't do that, all right? And by the way, I believe one of the two sons, I think Gary just had a grandchild, I believe, but I also know, and you know what, on a more somber note, and I do want to mention this, Paul, real quickly, my condolences to Gary, the entire family, because his mother-in-law, legendary figure in Kremen, passed away just the other day, and it's something I did not have a chance to bring up. Gary, one of our great friends and one of the great athletes from this area, and a McLean graduate. And as I've told him before, when you look at the McLean graduates, it is obvious that asbestos at the top of the ceiling filtered down to a lot of us if you talk to us privately. All right, that having been said, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell our friend Mike Dupree that you said that because I think his brain's still working pretty well
they
over
all
there.
Know. At Passion Fruiterer. Hey, Jim Natsuse can tell you. We all know. We all know it, all right? It's the fault of the asbestos. That's all there is to it.
So, you know, I think it was a really good win. And Coach Ince brought up on the field, you know, we had Kenny Wiggins filling in for Cam doing the sideline. And when Kenny was interviewing Coach Ince right after the game, he brought up, you know, this is the second time this year that Fresno State has done something that the last 2 years worth of Bulldog teams didn't do. And that's come from behind in the fourth quarter to win a game. And when you do that, it says something about your togetherness, your cohesion, your focus, your team mentality. Because it takes all three phases, and that game absolutely required situational execution from all three phases. And it wasn't perfect. It wasn't flawless. It was wet. It was windy. There were calls that went against him, and you brought up, you know, the forward pass versus lateral. I think ideally what most officials would tell you is that, you want to let the play out, but then the call should probably be, if you think it might have been a forward pass, that it's an incomplete forward pass, and give replay the discretion to overturn that and say it wasn't. In this case, they call it a fumble, and then decided that it just wasn't clear enough. So it was one of those deals where it was close enough with that replay crew that whatever was called on the field was probably going to be the eventual call. And I guess that could be a philosophical difference between crews. It sure looked forward to me. But hats off to Hawaii for playing it out and taking advantage of it. And that put the Bulldogs in a hole, but they were able to overcome. And, you know, I thought the defense played tremendous. And I thought E.J. Warner had his best game as a Bulldog. I mean, he made some quick decisions, some really tough throws. He was resilient. Hawaii did a better job than anybody's done of neutralizing Fresno State's run game. So a lot more pressure and responsibility was put on the quarterback's shoulders. And he handled it well. And, you know, look at the game-changing plays. Third down conversions, they were outstanding again. The throw to Cam Beecham that turns into a 64-yarder and almost a touchdown. If EJ's a little more hesitant, that's a sack or a turnover. So, you know, there's a guy who's growing in confidence, whose teammates are trusting him more, whose connection with his teammates and coaches is deepening, and progress is being made, I think, on all sides of the ball. And the defense was just outstanding. You know, to not allow any offensive points until 10 seconds left in the game, that's the defense that's doing good things. And, you know, the play, Cam Braca gets a pick. I think Hamilton's pick, which was close to a touchdown, I even thought it was because that was where we are there. We're in basically a storage unit at the top of the bleachers on the opposite side of the field near the goal line watching AZ, you know, diagonal on the field. And even through binoculars, I couldn't see that he stepped out from there. I thought he got in as he tumbled into the end zone. That was a huge play that led to points. And then Thunderbird to do what he did. I mean, just tremendous. So that defense is going to bring a lot of confidence into the first conference home game against Nevada. And if they stay as humble and hungry and united as a team as they are, I think we're going to see this squad continue to build momentum and have a chance to do some real special things in 2025.
Well, I think Matt and his comment before this week, which is we've just scratched the surface, I think that is exactly what's going on. And the good news is you just scratched the surface and you're a one-loss team now as you're moving forward. That's a pretty good situation to have. Two things, Paul. One, you brought up, I think it's something that's a nuance that's very important, and I'm glad you brought it up. It is fine to say our policy is to allow the play to play out on the field because otherwise you fall victim to the inadvertent whistle problem. But what you brought up is the issue, and that is if you're allowing it to play out and you're saying I'm allowing it to play out because I'm not sure, fine. But then if you're going to make the call on the field on the basis of you're not sure, you're now putting the burden of proof on an overturn when it might be better off to allow the play to play out and then say we are now going to determine exactly which side this goes without taking sides. Because you're right, Paul, the issue of confirming it versus the call that stands, the vast majority of the time we hear the call stands, meaning we're not sure, not enough evidence. But that should be after you thought you made the right call to begin with. And the officials, by allowing it to play out by policy, Paul, are conceding that they may not at all be able to make the right call. They just don't know. So why don't we play it that way, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think the way Coach Entz is approaching it is the best way to approach it. You know, all week long, he prepared the guys for what they were going to face, whether it was potential distractions, a longer trip than normal. You know, they spent two nights in a hotel instead of just one, which is the standard. That's the only time they'll do that all year because it was such a long trip. Right. And then, you know, on the road, you expect that there are going to be some calls that don't go your way. And if you, you know, focus on them too much, then you let them snowball. And then you're making mistakes that, you know, make the calls even more impactful. But the right thing to do and the best thing to do is to find a way to overcome. And that's what this team did. It persevered. They did what they needed to do in the moments. They picked each other up. I mean, Dylan Lynch had made five straight kicks, hadn't missed since the opener, and he misses three, you know, and even he makes a career-long 54-yarder. It doesn't count because of the timeout that Coach Chang took, and yet when they needed a kick to take the lead, he nailed it. And when they need to recover an onside kick at the end, Ezekiel Avit steps up and gets that done, and Simeon Harris, you know, great coverage to deny the two-point conversion. I mean, there were just plays made. The defensive line, I thought, had a really good game. Sonny Zepra is one of the most improved players on the team. Finn Claypool, you know, it was his birthday Saturday night, and he played like it, had a great game. The list goes on and on. Guys are contributing. They're playing together. They're playing smart. They've got a lot of momentum. And let's see the Red Wave, Sil Valley Children's Stadium on October 4th. Because it's just like the Hawaii rivalry, which I hope, you know, leaders can find a way to continue. I was reminded again. I mean, that's the first time in 4 years we've been there. Those fans love that rivalry. Of their existing rivalries, they've played the Bulldogs more than anybody. And they would love to keep it going. And I think our fans would, too. And it may not always be the easiest trip, but I think it's a rivalry worth continuing if you can find a way to do it that makes makes sense for both schools. And I certainly would apply that same principle to the Nevada rivalry, because in my mind, as much as Bulldog fans would be more satisfied with a win over Boise State, where they have more memories against Hawaii, the Nevada rivalry is probably the one where you have the most palpable sense of dislike. And that's for all the sports, not just football, as any of the rivalries the Bulldogs have had while I've been announcing the games. So, and especially with how close the two schools are, the Golden State, the Silver State, we share a mountain range. I think it would be fantastic to keep games with Nevada on the schedule for as many sports as possible. And, you know, we'll see. The dust will settle eventually on these two conferences and the lawsuits and the hard feelings. But, you know, I think it's incumbent on all those leaders at all the schools to say, hey, it's not about personal feelings. It's not about feeling like this conference or that school betrayed me or didn't have my best interest in mind. You know, you work for the fans. You work to create opportunities for student athletes. And I think, you know, like I said, emotions will die down and leaders will say, hey, this makes a lot of sense to keep these rivalries going. And I think Nevada is another one like that. So if this is our last chance for a while to play Nevada in football, let's pack the place at Valley Children's Stadium. How about a first sellout of the year for a team that's won 4 straight? That would be pretty special.
And, of course, keep in mind it's a bye week, so we're looking at the first weekend of October for that. Paul, to that point, and Panish and I were talking about it Friday, you and I have talked about it, and it might be a tie as far as across the board, meaning football, baseball, basketball, about bitterness. With Hawaii, it's always been chippy. There have been bench-clearing situations in baseball. The same with Nevada. I think it's very, very close to who the most intense rival is across the board. It can't be Boise State only because you don't have baseball history with them. The basketball history is not the way it is with Nevada and with Hawaii. And I'll tell you the one thing, Paul, and you just brought it up, as far as the bitterness. Hawaii knows this, that being out there in the islands, there is a disadvantage. They travel naturally. But they have an advantage. If they had to, if the Rainbow Warriors wanted to, they could end up going independent and playing all home games in football, keeping their expenses down. They wouldn't be in a conference. They probably wouldn't be in a bowl game. But they could find 10 to 12 schools to come on out and play them, trust me. Nevada, on the other hand, Paul, they do feel as though probably more than any other school that they were left behind unfairly. That's my guess. Now, it's mitigated by UNLV not going. If UNLV would have joined, you really would have heard the howling. But I think there's more anger in Reno than there is in Honolulu. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, for the Bo's fans, it's not their first rodeo. You know, they've been left behind before.
That's correct, yes.
You know. And they have their teams in a bunch of different conferences when you look across the board. So, I think there are hard feelings there, and it only adds another layer of vitriol. But, you know, from a football perspective, here's the other factor. Jeff Choate, you know, before taking that Nevada job, had a lot of success at Montana State. And
right.
With the FCS playoffs, you know, that's a coaching staff that Matt Entz and his staff, who come from multiple FCS backgrounds, are very familiar with. So it's one of those things, you know, Fresno State's having a better season than Nevada right now. The Wolfpack may not have figured it out yet. But when it comes to familiarity of tendencies, of scheme, of personality, this may be the game on the schedule where there's the most familiarity between the coaching staff. So that adds another wrinkle. And I just can't wait. It's going to be a blast on October 4th at Valley Children's Stadium.
Paul, back to Saturday night. You know, a lot of credit was given on the telecast watching the, again, Hawaii Purdue Spectrum Sports feed. I hope a lot of you had a chance to see it on DirecTV, because in that regard, you've got the top quality video that goes with it, as opposed to trying to get it streamed. But, you know, any port in the storm, and I'm just happy that most people I heard from were able to watch the game in some form, and obviously listening to Paul, Pat, and Cam, that is a given. But Sims, with that hustle play on Hamilton, saved 4 points. They brought it up, but what wasn't brought up is Polendo saved the Bulldogs five, Paul. Five at a critical time by the alertness of falling back on that ball. Otherwise, that is a touchdown and not a safety. And as you know, Hawaii made a rather strange choice on the free kick by fair catching it, even though there was a lot of real estate there, and they did not turn it into points, nor did they flip field position. And so when you look back at that, as you know, a lot of times after a safety, the free kick is brought back inside of your territory again, and the team ends up scoring 9 points on you. Instead, they only got the two, and not only, Paul, is it key to differential, but it changed, I think, the whole feeling that, hey, you know what, we're still right here. We're not going to get caught in an avalanche early on. At least that's my feeling.
Yeah, I think that is a key point. And that's what I'm talking about, right? It's team football. Coach Entz, you've heard him say it time and time again, complementary football, situational execution. And, you know, when you have that, when offense can rely on defense and vice versa, and they both can rely on special teams, yeah, you win ballgames. And I agree. I thought that was a big blunder by the Bows to not return that free kick, because, you know, there's no question Barfield could have gotten at least an extra 10 yards, if not more. So I think that was probably miscommunication on their part. And, you know, on the flip side, another play that probably hasn't gotten enough credit from that Bulldog win was Speedy Luke's long kick return. Because, right, you know, momentum-wise, after what had just happened, that set Fresno State up well with a shorter field, and certainly helped the cause. And Nick Verdugo, I mean, man, the guy going into the year didn't think he'd even get a chance to play other than holding on point afters. And, you know, he's done every punt for Fresno State. He's getting better every week. The relationship between his kicks and the coverage team has been outstanding. And, you know, what was a huge question mark going into the opener has become, I think, one of the most consistent parts of Fresno State's game. So that's a real credit to Coach Baxter, to Nick, and to that whole unit.
Well, and, you know, we've talked about Benedetto and what he brings. We saw it last year in the bowl game. But, Paul, you had Eliahuddle back to play for the first time in a couple of weeks. And I thought the defense, the way structurally they played, the linebackers were terrific, and that's why they were able to make it difficult. But he did not burn the Bulldogs. The last drive obviously made some plays, but he did not torment the Bulldogs with his legs all night long, and particularly the way the Bulldogs played defense against an undersized QB, because to call him 5'10 may be generous. They really, Paul, made it difficult for him to get those passes across the middle where he had clear lines of sight, and there were a lot, they made the INTs. There were a lot more opportunities as well with deflections, et cetera. And I thought schematically the game plan, not only was it executed, and Robert is right that it was definitely the defense that deserves all the flowers here, Paul, structurally, I thought Fresno State went in with a scheme that was absolutely outstanding given the talent they were going up against. And they were, look, Seneca didn't play. That's fortunate. But the Bulldogs took what was out there, and structurally they put something together to make it very difficult in the Hawaii offense.
Absolutely. Yeah, nothing was easy for Alejandro. Right? And you're right, he's not 5'10". Even Hawaii's announcer, John Veneri, came on with us in pregame, and he said he's at most 5'8". But he's a talent, right? He's got a great arm, gets rid of it quickly. You tell he's a playmaker. He's a guy who inspires his teammates. I was impressed with Hawaii. I was really impressed with Hawaii defensively. And I think, you know, Timmy Chang's going to have him in a bowl game this year, hopefully right there on that field. And, you know, it's great to see that program build some momentum. It's his fourth year now, getting more of the local guys to stay home. You know, the crowd was great. The last time we played there, there was no crowd. It was COVID and fans weren't allowed. We had the Hawaii band and the Bulldog coaches and the Hawaii coaches and us sitting up in that airtight storage container, and that was about it, you know. So it was great to see the Bose fans there and a whole lot of the Red Wave. You know, they didn't mind getting a little wet to see a Bulldog victory. So they've only got a few more chances this year to travel, go to Fort Collins and Boise and San Jose. But I know we'll see the Red Wave in those places too.
Paul, as far as the work to do, and Matt is the first guy to mention it, where are you at with the progress of the team right now? I mean, there hasn't been an overwhelming performance, and I'm not discounting an FCS opponent. Against an FBS opponent, there have been victories, and the Bulldogs certainly struggled against Kansas, who, by the way, is right now looking pretty good. But where are you at saying, okay, the team has won, dot, 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 however? Where are your howevers right now?
You know, I think the howevers are getting smaller because this team's improving. I mean, I think what they did what they were supposed to do against Southern, and then most importantly, they built the confidence in the passing game, which understandably, you know, there was reason to doubt it going into that game, and they answered a lot of those doubts. And as I already said, I think EJ played better this week at Hawaii than he did against Southern. There was more pressure. There were tougher situations. There were more opportunities for things to go haywire. And he made great decisions. He made quicker decisions. He made accurate throws. At times, he made stronger throws. So he's growing in this offense, and that's a big deal. Fresno State is not one-dimensional, which is going to be a huge factor moving forward in this league. Defense, man, you have that many takeaways, that many sacks, you're building a lot of confidence. And, you know, special teams, with a tough night in the place-kicking department, they got away with it. They made plays when they counted. We already talked about Speedy, talked about Nick Verdugo. That onside recovery by Avit when all the momentum's in Hawaii's favor, when it's raining, you know, all that, that's one of those plays where if you're nervous, if you're hesitant, if you don't trust your teammates, you make a mistake. But he was aggressive, confident, decisive, made the play like they practiced it a million times. So I think all those things point to a team that's really well coached, that has a coaching staff that, with good chemistry, because that's not always the case. You can have a great collection of coaching talent, but if they're not on the same page, if they're not all buying into the vision the head coach is setting, if he's not trusting his coordinators, if they're not trusting their position coaches, you can have a whole lot of talent from a coaching standpoint, but have it be ineffective. In this case, I think you're seeing week after week a coaching staff that trusts each other more, that believes in each other more, that is holding to standards. I mean, there was a player who didn't make that trip and who's no longer on the team. And that was his choice. But the coaching staff didn't try to bend their standards to satisfy one player, just to keep them in the program. They said, no, this is the way it's got to be, right? So I think they're doing a phenomenal job. I think the fan base should be really pleased. And I can't wait to see the Red Wave pack the house against Nevada.
So let you go, Paul. I mentioned last week, I do, just by the vibe of this team, expect this team to be in the top two in this conference and playing for the Mountain West title at the end of the year, despite what the pundits, media-wise, around the conference has said going in. I went back to 2017 where I really felt Teddy coming in. You'd see an amazing turnaround, and you ended up a team picked last, playing when we're still in divisional play for the title and then winning the whole thing, as you're well aware, the next year. Certainly, Matt did not come into that kind of rebuild situation. This is a team, as we talked, that could easily have won 10 games last year. Four of them did not go their way late. They had quality, but they also lost a lot through transfer portal. This team plays cohesively, and one more time, the reason I'm so high on this team is defense travels always, and this team plays defense, and the running game travels, and this team is able to run the ball, and when you stack the box, as Hawaii did, then if Warner is going to make the plays and not make the big mistake, this team is going to look very, very good. So we'll see how it plays out. Last comment, Paul, comes from our buddy Benito and Reedley, and he said, tell Paul that he loves Pat Hill's commentary on Pat's favorite Hawaii referee. So any comment about that?
Well, we already discussed that, Tony, and yes, Pat made his opinions known the other night, and some of that's personal, right? I mean, he almost beat Hawaii's best team ever and probably should have beat them, and there was a play, you know, very similar to the one that turned into a Hawaii touchdown. It could have been a touchdown for Fresno State, but was blown dead, and the Bulldogs didn't have a chance. So there's a lot of triggers there, right? So I know Pat exercises a lot of self-control, but one thing we appreciate about him is he tells it how it is, and he's walked in shoes that most of us haven't. So, you know, I'm so blessed and so grateful to hang out with him every Saturday, to have guys like Cam and Kenny that, you know, have been through all those battles, who get it, who know more football than I could ever digest. And our fan base is really blessed to have those guys as a part of the program. And, you know, Pat's around so much. I mean, his football knowledge is making a difference on this year's team, and he's in there with some of the young linemen, helping them learn fundamentals. That guy does what he loves. I don't know if you heard, he's going to coach the Hula Bowl this year under Coach John Gruden, and as the O-line coach. And you know, he's pumped up for Tim Skipper this week. You know, Bulldogs don't have a game, but Bulldog legend Tim Skipper will be coaching those UCLA Bruins against Northwestern. And now Kevin Coyle said goodbye to my alma mater, Syracuse, to go help him and be his defensive coordinator there. So I think all Bulldog fans can root for the Bruins this week, and two guys who gave a lot to our program who are trying to salvage some dignity there for the guys in L.A.
No doubt about it. And look, Paul, I'll let you go by saying what you already know. Pat is one of the great and longtime friends of mine, and we've had a ton of conversations off air that would never be suitable for on air, whether it's in person during a commercial break or on the phone as recently as a couple weeks ago at the station. But I will just leave you with this. Of the many times that Pat had frustration, and he would call me sometimes on the way home from the games and on the bus one time from L.A. after the team had won against UCLA and occupied the football for the last 8-plus minutes, I get a phone call, and I pick up the phone, and I hear all this noise in the background. He goes, Tony, Pat, how'd you like that drive? I said, where are you? He goes, I'm with the team on the way home. Okay, I thought, wow, okay, that's his intensity. But one time, and people know this, and I'm not going to go back and explain when, a certain game when the officiating did not go Fresno State's way. At the end of the game, as Pat's leaving the field, Paul, there was a screw on the field, and Pat picked it up and was walking by the officials, and you can draw your own conclusion about that. On that note, I will let you go, my friend. Have a great week. Take care.
I'm just going to believe that was one of those heads-up lucky pennies that Pat picked up.
You're saying it didn't come from his pocket or his head.
It looked like a screw.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later, Faison. I'll see you. Take care.
See you, Tony.
All right. Our great friend Paul Leffler. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. That would be Phil Lock of the Week, Menotti. I'm telling you, this guy is not only nailing the Fresno State games on his Barkport stuff, but he's telling you exactly how it's going to play out, what the final score is going to be, who the player of the game is going to be. Now, I used to kid Jackson about the Jackson Moore Lock of the Week. Okay, I was a joke, because Jackson doesn't, you know, bother with that kind of stuff. Phil, however, is Italian, which means he has to bet. So I'm telling you right now, there needs to be a Phil Bonatti Lock of the Week segment, and everybody needs to take Phil's advice and cash in. And if he's wrong, then you need to come down and see him in person on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture and let him know how you feel about the fact that he failed your investment. That's how confident I am in your money and Phil's predictions. Let's take the break and come back while I apologize during the break. As the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253, coming up on the show. Phil is up for 2 hours of his fine show behind the bench. Then it's Major Wager Monday out at Minette's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota. Great matchup tonight, Detroit and Baltimore. The Lions trying to get healthy and back on track after they might have very well won a Super Bowl if they wouldn't have had all those injuries late and the Ravens always playing what if by the time we get to January. Game on both ABC and ESPN and on our air on 1430. And again, Carter and the entire gang out there for Major Wager Monday at Meenan's Victory Grill, Granite Park at 5 o'clock today. The Giants are playing the Cardinals tonight. The Giants are on life support. We'll get back to the Giants tomorrow, and they're just going to have to win and pray. They really do need a miracle. They need everybody else to fold up around them. I don't think that's going to happen, but they made the right move for a while and actually had a half a game lead for a very fleeting moment in the wild card battle last week, but it just was not sustainable, and the Dodgers had a lot to do with that. What else is new? Though the Dodgers are going to win the division and not get one of the byes, so the Dodgers are going to have to play in the best two or three next weekend, and we're going to have all of that for you. Anyway, to tell you about the entirety of the schedule, let's thank our friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. For more information, Ed is always helping out his alma mater, Fresno State, particularly the Lyles College of Engineering, with their fundraising. They always have the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students, and we thank Ed for everything he does for us and also for his alma mater, Fresno State. As far as the schedule goes, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, shortened sometimes like today by play-by-play. On Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Nothing like it in all of California, the best furniture on the planet. Stop by and see him, El Paso, across from River Park. Good eats when Phil is there, and the great conversation in addition to the great furniture. And you can also reach Phil if you can't make it in person. Any day you can reach him on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters, two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Report on our sister station, the Deuce 790, on Wednesdays from 6 to 7, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then also Paul has his long-running show on Saturday mornings on 1430, live from First Ring Sports. That is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. Also for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. The live links and podcasts are there. Make sure you get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen to everything. And keep in mind, after the Giants season wraps up, the A's, of course, wrapping up this weekend, unless the Giants have a miraculous six-game winning streak and Cincinnati loses and the Mets lose and the D-bag, you know what I'm saying. It's not going to happen. We still have coverage of the playoffs for you beginning next week from ESPN Radio all the way through what we'll have or the World Series. So we're going to have all coverage. We also have the Lakers coming up very shortly. And, of course, NFL-wise, we've got all the national games from Westwood One and our local teams, the 49ers, Rams, and Raiders. Those are always on, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, as we mentioned, Nick Bosa out now with the second torn ACL in 5 years. It's going to really hurt the 49ers big time because even though they have a lot of young talent on that line, the mere presence of Bosa, he's like Steph Curry. If he's on the court, Steph Curry, everybody else is open. Nick Bosa is on that line, people playing on the line with him, they have a lot of room to roam because the concentration goes to Nick and he won't be there. The 49ers are a very fortunate 3-0, and the Rams have got to be shaking their head. How in the world they can't beat Philly when they have them by the throat every time? Maybe we'll figure it out. The Ram fans think about this in January. Anyway, we have all of that for you coming up. Also, keep in mind high school games on Friday night. Phil will tell you more about that. It's been a great package. And during home games, or in this case bye weeks, Pat Hill will be with Phil and Paul Metters for those games. All right, the final reminder here as I jump out of the way comes courtesy of our great friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Again, they're proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. And so one more time, stop by those local operators. Tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. And right now, for a limited time, they have brought the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back, the ultimate fan favorites. They're there, but not for long. Stop by and pick them up. Also, keep in mind, while others are making their food smaller and the price bigger, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, the KFC Chicken Sandwich, remains great and bigger and better than ever. And right now, you can get it for just $3.99 for a limited time. So stop by the KFC's, pick up the wedges, the wings, the sandwich, pick up a bucket of chicken or two, and tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. And speaking of thanks, I want to thank Paul Leffler, as always, for his time, and Jorge as well. And thanks to all the sponsors, in addition to the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, you can reach Phil through the Lee's Air Hotline, 320-1430. We'll see you tomorrow with Jackson Moore. Listen closely while Phil gives you 40 winners in every sport in the next 2 hours. Get that. Take your kids' savings out of the bank. Trust Phil. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.